You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
While the rest of the country moves to alert level 2, those in Tāmaki Makaurau are still keeping themselves home and in their bubbles under level 4. With the reduction of cars on the road, native bird song has become easier to hear and a welcome silver lining of the lockdown for many. Birds in Aotearoa haven't always had it easy, fighting against the pressures of introduced rodents and habitat destruction as our cities grow. For a bit of COVID news relief, Francis spoke this morning with Professor Jacqueline Beggs of the University of Auckland about New Zealand's native birds, especially about the beloved kittadu, which won Bird of the Year in 2018. And if you didn't know, they are known to occasionally fill themselves up with fermented fruit and fall out of trees. Francis and Professor Beggs spoke about how they survive in urban environments and what we can do to encourage them and other native birds into our gardens.
Let's start maybe specifically with a kittadu and sort of if you could explain what a natural habitat would look like for a kittadu and then how they've adapted to live in urban environments.
So kittadu are endemic pigeon in New Zealand, and so they're our only endemic pigeon, and most people have probably seen them because they're such large, clumsy but beautiful birds. They've got fantastic colouring. So normally they would be in a forested environment, so they love feeding on a lot of our native fruiting plants, so things like niko, puriri, a whole range of things. They also take a lot of leaves and flowers, so they'll happily feast on kōwhai flowers and a range of things, but it's particularly that high quality fruit and flowers that they need across the breeding season. And so it turns out they're actually they do reasonably well in an urban setting because they'll make do with a lot of our introduced flowering and fruiting plants that we plant. So for instance, out the window this morning I saw them feasting in the neighbour's loquat tree, so they're very happily switched to food like that. And because there's places like Auckland, well, actually probably most New Zealand cities, we do have a reasonable amount of plantings of fruiting and flowering plants. The kittadu seem to manage reasonably well in terms of having the food resources they need, but what can really have a big impact on them is predators. So particularly rodents will, you know, feast on their eggs, and so that can lead to a lot of failure at the nesting stage. So that's another thing that, you know, a lot of community groups and people are starting to do now is to run predator control in their backyard. So I just have a rat trap and that's in a protected box so it doesn't catch things that we don't want it catching. And if enough people sort of join hands and do that, it can actually make quite a difference to the density of some of those introduced predators in our urban areas, and that gives the birds a bit more of a chance.
Is there a higher density of those predators in urban areas compared to, say, the Waitakere ranges, or is it quite similar?
It would vary from place to place and time to time. So there are surprisingly high densities of rodents in some of our urban areas. But, you know, again, it's resource driven often. So if there's lots of food around, then and there often is associated with our own dwellings, then that will help support high densities of rodents. So in places like the Waitakere's, again, there's starting to be a lot of predator control in some of those areas. So though the numbers of predators in some of those forests now is potentially quite a bit lower than in urban areas where there is no predator control.
And is there anything like windows or cars, sort of those very human urban elements that play into the survival of kittadu or any sort of native bird in urban environment?
Yeah, so windows can be a real problem for kittadu, and it depends on often where their flight lines are. They're not always the most intelligent bird, shall we say. And, we have had quite a number of instances of collision with windows, and if the bird's lucky, it gets a glancing blow and is okay, but it can kill birds too. So people, where their windows are on a flight plan, you'll often know because you'll get multiple impacts. And so some people have resorted to, you know, a net curtain across the window or putting a decal or something on it, just so there's a bit of a visual cue for the bird that, you know, they can't just fly straight through there.
And is there practical things that people can do to encourage native bird life? I mean, it's been quite nice during lockdown hearing all the birds with the absence of cars rushing by.
I think a lot of people appreciate their backyard perhaps a lot more. And it's surprising, you know, what can be in your backyard. But there's lots of things we can do to encourage them. So first thing is the planting. So if you've got space and you can have some of the flowering or fruiting trees there, that they could be fantastic. So even some of the smaller sorts of trees, so kowhai is a great one to have, and that will it brings a lot of pleasure because it's got such beautiful flowers, but the birds will really love that too. Some people will put out food for birds, and that can be really successful in helping the birds along in some areas. We would suggest, though, that rather than putting out bread or seed or grains, that you look at putting out sugar water, because most of the native birds are not granivorous, so they're not seed eaters and they don't like the bread. So we had a wonderful bit of work done by Josie Galbraith, and what she found was that if people were putting out lots of the bread and seed, it was benefiting all the introduced species, so things like the sparrows and the miners and things, but it was at the detriment of the native birds, tended to get pushed out. So things like grey warbler tended to disappear from a garden that was intensively feeding bread. So if you put out sugar water, though, that will encourage things like the silver eyes and the tui potentially.
Okay,
not kidding,
though. No, our slightly unintelligent birds. That's just in a little dish in the garden.
Yeah, there's a variety of ways you can do it. Some places will sell like a little thing that you screw a used fizzy drink bottle onto, and I think they were about, I don't know, $15 or $20 or something, and you can fill the bottle with the sugar water. So not honey, though. So there's a risk to honeybees if people start using honey. A, it's ridiculously expensive at the moment, but B, it can potentially spread bee diseases. So use sugar water, just plain old table sugar is great, and that can be a good thing. But actually in some places, particularly if it's a dry summer, some people have success with just putting out a shallow dish of water for bird, and kereru will come down and take water from a bowl. And because in many cities we've undergrounded a lot of our natural creeks and water, so they're not accessible to wildlife. So yeah, things can be short of water.
Finally, what bird did you vote for in Bird of the Year last year?
I'm not sure which one I went for. Maybe kaka. I started my research career working on kaka, so I've always got a soft spot for them.
That was Professor Jacqueline Beggs from the University of Auckland speaking to Francis about native birds, particularly the kereru, living in urban environments.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.